Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
From the Times and the Sunday Times, this is The Story. I'm Manveen Rana. And this week, there's only one thing that absolutely everyone has been talking about.
It's the question that has taken over the internet. Where is Kate Middleton?
The rumours keep coming about her whereabouts, about her condition, and it's frankly gotten quite crazy.
Kate?
It's grainy. It looks like a Bigfoot sighting.
Yes,
it looks
like...
Wherever you stand on Kate's conspiracy, there's no doubting its impact on the reputation of the British royal family.
So, sound the royal klaxon. We've pinned down the Times expert on all things royal to answer the questions that we're all asking. How's your week been?
A week is a very long time in royal news at the moment. Even a day feels like an age at this stage. So thanks for inviting me back on to bring everybody up to date, because it still is the topic of conversation. People still talking about it.
The story today, Kategate, how the royals lost control of the narrative.
So my name is Kate Mansey and I'm assistant editor at The Times, where I cover the royal family and I'm in charge of their royal coverage.
And Kate, you were on the podcast just last week talking about the frenzy around the Princess of Wales after, you know, we found out that photo from Mother's Day had been altered. And it feels like we've all gone down the rabbit hole even deeper since that photo fiasco with another one.
It's sort of a sense of deja vu, because we had that Mother's Day picture was supposed to be reassuring. But since then, we've had this footage emerge in the Sun newspaper, and that showed Prince and Princess of Wales out shopping at the Windsor Farm shop, which is close to their home at Adelaide Cottage. And it seemed to show them happy, relaxed. Kate was walking very briskly, looking pretty healthy and holding her own shopping bag. So not an invalid who still needs lots of time to recover. So initially it was thought that this would be really reassuring for the public, I expect. It seemed to have been taken on a mobile phone by a passerby, another shopper who happened to be there at on the same day and thought, crikey, I'll take a quick video of this because it's such an extraordinary sight and she's a person everybody's talking about.
I mean, firstly, I've got to ask, how normal was that shopping trip? Is this genuinely something that they went out and they were just caught quite by accident? Or did they go out knowing somebody would see them and take a picture and that would be sent out as a message?
So you're getting to the nub of it, I suppose. I think, my understanding is that quite a few members of the royal family who live in Windsor do go to this shop. I've got a friend who shops there quite regularly and happens to see Prince Edward or the Duchess of Edinburgh, his wife, or members of the royal family coming and going. And there seems to be a kind of a murmur around the shop that locals are, you know, they're respectful. Nobody really pulls out their mobile phone. So it may well be that this was just one of many trips that the Prince and Princess of Wales have made to the shop. But they must have known, given the huge interest in Kate and her recovery, and again, all the conspiracy theories surrounding it online, that if she was spotted, there was a chance she would be photographed. But do I think they went there for that reason? No, I think they probably just went to get some food, you know, baby foots out into the public and out and get some fresh air. So that's, in my mind, perfectly understandable. I don't think it's part of a sophisticated sort of setup.
And then when this footage did emerge, rather than reassuring people that, you know, this is a recovery on track, it seems to have just raised even more questions.
It did, because the conspiracies didn't end there. It wasn't, oh goodness, here she is walking around looking healthy and happy. Very, very soon we had people online, and this is not just unnamed trolls, but people who are of certain standing saying, that doesn't look like her. I don't believe that's her. I think that's a body double. And all sorts of strange conspiracies which started to kind of spiral from this one seemingly kind of innocent video that was taken by a bystander. And it's like a snowball. It starts as a small snowball with a few unnamed trolls or a few unnamed kind of armchair theorists. And very quickly, you're looking at an avalanche.
And seeing that happening online, seeing the speculation running absolutely wild, has Kensington Palace said anything?
They have responded with a characteristic silence over this footage and the stills which were taken from it and put in newspapers. So they declined to comment on the video, and they've continued to say throughout that Kate is doing well. And that's all they have said. There's no confirmation that this was the Princess of Wales. And the news that I was receiving from Kensington Palace was, we don't comment on anything they do in their private time. Mm. So end of, that's it.
And then on Wednesday, you know, what felt like frenzied internet silliness suddenly tipped into something a bit darker, because we heard that there'd been an incident at the London clinic where Kate had been treated. Tell us about that.
So the news broke that the Metropolitan Police has now been asked to look into claims that the Princess of Wales had a confidentiality breached while she was a patient at a private London hospital. And a government minister has been outspoken about it, and even Rishi Sunak addressed it. At least one member of staff, we're led to believe, at the London clinic in Marylebone, central London, was said to have been caught trying to get access to Kate's medical notes, which is very serious, obviously, and is now the subject of a probe by the London clinic. They've informed Kensington Palace, which by rights, you have to inform the person whose data has been breached. And Kensington Palace have simply said, this is a matter for the London clinic. We don't know enough at this stage to say what was the motivation behind this apparent breach.
I think for a lot of people, when that news broke, it was just the moment where you sort of, there's a bit of a deep breath, because, you know, what starts off as silly memes on the internet, you suddenly realise has very real consequences. I mean, everybody should be able to go and have treatment and expect privacy around that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And this feeds into some understanding of what the Prince and Princess of Wales, as they say nowadays, the lived experience that they have of being members of the royal family, because I bet there's so many of these examples that the public never gets to hear about. And then we wonder why they're being secret about their private lives.
And there is just a huge interest in this, which is what's fueling a lot of the online conspiracies and a lot of the memes. But, I mean, just give us a sense of how big this story has gone. And I mean globally, not just in Britain.
In Britain, we know that it's been hugely talked about. It's been, the conspiracy theories have been expanded in all across the mainstream media, as well as just on online chat rooms. But that even is nothing compared to what we're seeing in the States, for example. So in America, we're told that Kate Middleton was the most searched for term. And that was even before baseball, very popular sport.
Wow.
Donald Trump and Joe Biden, at a time when they're gearing up for a major election in the US.
Well, if she wants to stand for president,
I think she'd do pretty well. I think she would do pretty well.
But that's remarkable to be at the top of all the searches. And it's being picked up by media around the world too.
Joining me now with some data on all the royal drama is Harry Enten, who's a big, you're a big royal watcher.
Oh, I'm a huge royal watcher. I am just so happy to be here. The interest in this story, in one word, is tremendous, and I find the whole thing to be absolutely delicious.
That's quite tasteless, isn't it? This idea that people are kind of really reveling in it. But that word carries so much weight, I think, because it is, that is how people feel. They're kind of consuming it. It's news they're consuming. It's news they're enjoying. It's a kind of gossip. And at somewhere at the heart of it, people have forgotten that there's a real woman who's recovering from major surgery.
Is there also a problem here, not just with the public's interest, but kind of with the way the palace has handled this? I mean, just give us a sense. You've dealt with them for 15 years now. How does the PR machine in Kensington Palace operate? How does all of this normally get communicated to journalists?
Well, what's interesting to note to people who aren't in that kind of royal world or haven't been royal correspondents is that you have two distinct offices. So you have Buckingham Palace, which is obviously the office of the monarch, in this case, the king and his queen consort. And then you have Kensington Palace, which is the Prince and Princess of Wales's office. And they are run as, although it's one firm, as Prince Philip used to describe it, and it's one royal family, they are run like two separate business entities, if you like. So they have different people who will run the press teams and different strategies. Mm. And William's office does operate on its own. It won't particularly ask for advice from the King's office. A King's office might not always know what Kensington Palace are going to put out. So is this the way that the King's press team might have run their media operation? It's hard to say. It's not their call.
And just give us a sense of how slick that operation normally is. I mean, you've seen it working for 15 years now. Does it usually handle stuff like this just a bit better?
I think in the time that I've been covering the royal family, I've seen a major shift, particularly in the way that Kensington Palace for William and Kate want to do things. So they're more keen to bypass those kind of traditional, as they might see them, channels, which would be to release a picture under an embargo, which would go out through all the major news outlets at a particular point. Instead, they will put a picture out on social media. The traditional way with the Mother's Day picture, there would have been a kind of safety net there where newspapers might have said, ah, are you sure about, is this the right image? Because it doesn't look quite right. And they would have had a kind of 12-hour window before the embargo to think about how they might handle the reaction to it. Whereas putting something out straight away on social media, they don't have that luxury of time. Mm. They can't call round the papers and say, in a way that they might have done in the past, what do you think of the picture? How are you using it? Are you going to put it on the front page? So it's definitely a different way of doing things.
And instead, we've had, you know, the catastrophe of the Mother's Day picture, all the speculation now. Is that affecting the rest of the royal family?
On one level, you can dismiss the kind of online conspiracy theorists. But in an age of not only 24-hour news, but 24-hour social media, which is where most people, let's face it, get their news. And the danger of that, of course, is that you can't dismiss this as online gossip anymore, because it's not very long until it snowballs, as I say, into an avalanche. And this was seen quite distinctly this week, where somebody had mocked up a fake Buckingham Palace statement, the sort of statements that I receive from the palace all the time. They've got the crest at the top, it says Buckingham Palace. And one glance at it, I'd say, yep, that looks like an official statement. Mm. The statement actually said that the king had died.
Oh, God.
But purporting to be an official statement. So this was circulated, went around the world, to the extent that the Russian state media was reporting it as fact to a country where that's where they get their news and that's their trusted news source. And it got to the extent where they did then have to put something out. And the UK embassy in Ukraine had to then counter that and say, no, that's not right. The king is happily still with us. And when it gets to that level, that's obviously that's a huge problem for the brand of the monarchy.
Where do you think they could have done things differently? I mean, you're literally the person on the other end of the phone ringing them up and, you know, asking for information. Do you think they should have said more earlier? Is there a reason all the speculation have just gone out of control?
At this juncture, Kensington Palace has definitely lost control of the narrative, as they say in PR, the narrative being the message that you want to present about the people that you represent. The message was, she wants private time. Her recovery will take until after Easter. And that's it. So whereas with the King, we heard a bit more about his cancer diagnosis. Not everything. There were some things that he wanted to keep private, and rightly so. But pretty soon we saw the King, perhaps we needed to, as head of state. He was a little video of him going through some of the cards from well wishers. But there hasn't been anything really kind of personal from her until that Mother's Day picture, really. So I think that the Mother's Day picture was felt like a bit of a knee jerk to some of these conspiracy theories, and it backfired.
But has that grown in a vacuum because there wasn't information?
Well, that's it. Because it wasn't a vacuum, people have made their own minds up about why they've not seen the Princess of Wales, even in a little 8-second video clip of her looking through some Get Well cards. They've refused to do that. And I think that has only fueled the media madness. And that's how one of the aides at Kensington Palace sort of described it to me, the kind of the madness surrounding it. And that was the word. And I thought, well, yes, but they've done nothing proactively to counteract the madness. They've sort of let it run and run, and it's grown and grown. And now it's impossible to bring it back.
Coming up, does the media frenzy have echoes of the days of Diana? And could William be doing more to help? That's in just a moment.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Whilst the Princess of Wales has been almost completely out of sight recovering, Prince William has carried on his royal duties despite the intense scrutiny of the family's every move.
I think William thinks that he'll just let the work speak for itself. So he's been to Sheffield, for example, to continue with his homelessness project. He's presented awards at the Diana Awards ceremony. He's carried on with his Earthshot environmental campaign, and these are all brilliant things that he's doing, and no one's criticising the work that he's doing. But it does remind me of a point when Princess Diana and Prince Charles, as was, the marriage wasn't going very well, and they were on an official visit to India. And it was that kind of iconic picture of Diana, who went to the Taj Mahal on her own and sat on on the bench on her own, and most of us will remember that very kind of iconic image as symbolising for the first time the state of the relationship, and then he wasn't there at this kind of monument of love at the Taj Mahal with his wife. But in fact, people forget that he was actually elsewhere delivering a very important speech, which could only be done on that day, which he felt was something he had to do. And he thought that by carrying on with the job at hand, that would be the best way to dismiss the doubters. But nobody remembers that. They do remember that picture. A lot of people remember seeing that picture because it seemed to speak volumes about the state of the relationship and where they were. What the members of the public will want to know when William goes to the Diana Legacy Awards is, where's Kate? To just have a couple of personal thank yous from William for all the good messages, all the support and love that the public has sent to both palaces. It wouldn't have taken very much. Might have been a better strategy overall.
It has felt like the fascination around her for the last few weeks really feels a bit like the days of Princess Diana. Are there sort of odd parallels?
I think we can see parallels with Diana, and I think William sees parallels with Diana. And I think that's what worries him. And I think that's what drives a lot of his privacy. And even more so when it comes to his wife and children, that desire is ferocious in him. The difference is, of course, that in Diana's day, we didn't have all the mobile phones and social media. Diana's death in 97 was something, the reaction to it, certainly from the members of the public, many of whom had never met her, was extraordinary. And I think the palace at the time was overwhelmed and baffled and bewildered by how it could be such a huge kind of public outcry. And it took the late Queen several days to respond to the public, I think, just out of being shell-shocked, and the whole family dealing with what they saw as a very personal tragedy, and then coming to terms with the public's reaction with it sparked all sorts of kind of academic research, even from sociologists and psychologists, as to what was happening in the country at that time. And you do wonder that now. So we've got the war in Gaza, we've got the war going on in Ukraine, the cost of living crisis, and you do wonder whether is that it's all just quite a diversion and people are kind of enjoying being Agatha Christie and trying to figure out, you know, is this picture real? Is this video real? Look, she's not wearing a ring in her Mother's Day picture. Goodness, maybe the couple are on the rocks and all that sort of stuff. That part of me wonders whether it's just the time that we're in now, where we're at with social media, where we're at as a country, as a nation, and it's this kind of joyful diversion, having forgotten that there's a real person at the heart of it.
And for Kate and William, you know, they've always sort of, as they've been the younger, more modern royals, it's felt like they've had a very curated image they put out to the world. Is there a danger that all of this speculation, as you say, you know, is she wearing a ring? Is she not wearing a ring? What's really going on behind the scenes? Will some of that stick? Will this do real damage to their brand in the future?
I think perhaps not, from the Lotus polls I've seen, that they remain hugely popular. I don't think this will be overall an issue in the long term for them as a quote-unquote brand.
And what will it mean for the royal family? I mean, has it shaken slightly the stability of the foundations of the whole institution?
Well, when we were in the kind of transition stage, as they called it, which is from one sovereign to the next, so when the Queen died and Charles became king, and it was always said to me by people within the palace that first 18 months were pretty crucial because the first 18 months, they are crucial. They set the tone for the rest of the reign. And I think they've been incredibly unlucky to have been hit with two bouts of illness in that time, the King's cancer, Kate's abdominal surgery. But we're out of that kind of febrile first 18 months now. So they've been unlucky. But I think ultimately, you know, in a couple of months' time, if we see Princess of Wales as fully recovered, then I think this will all become a kind of a strange memory.
We're expecting Kate to return to royal duties at Easter. We think there'll be another sighting. Do you think that will put a stop to the conspiracy theories at this stage?
Well, people even calling it a sighting is interesting, isn't it? Because it does sound like a kind of like an alien. We're taking it into kind of UFO territory, but that is how people are describing it. But they are, though, aren't they? That's how people are describing it, as a kind of sighting. Will we see her? Won't we see her? And look, I've been told they're drawing up plans. They know that the comeback's going to be huge. They realise that it's most likely going to break the internet when she returns to official duties. But plans are in place. You know, one option would be that she walks to Easter service at Windsor with the rest of the family on Easter Sunday. There's going to be a kind of a soft return, so they don't want to overwhelm her and they're going to be mindful of her recovery. Having said that, this is all subject to medical advice. So, you know, they could say on Good Friday, look, we don't think you're ready for it yet. So in which case, people are just going to have to deal with it, I'm afraid. Her recovery is going to have to come first. They've decided they want privacy. Nothing's going to change that. They're not going to pander to the madness. Whether it's actually caused more difficulty and more intrusions into her privacy than perhaps if they'd been more open from the start, or even just a tiny bit more open from the start, it's hard to say. But certainly it's been a heck of a week, hasn't it?
That's Kate Mansey, associate editor for The Times, who specialises in royal matters, which for now makes her the busiest person in the newsroom. And you can read all of her updates on this story on the Prince and Princess of Wales online at thetimes.co.uk with a subscription. The producer today was Sam Chantarasak. The executive producer was Kate Ford, and sound design and theme tune are both by Mao Lissetto. That's it from us for the first week of The Story. I hope you've enjoyed it. If you can, please do leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts, and let us know what you think of the new version. Drop us a line to thestory@thetimes.co.uk. And if you haven't already, do give us a follow. Thanks for listening. Have a lovely weekend.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.